Okay, let's open up with a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that it is precious in our sight and that the Lord Jesus is precious. And Father, I pray that today there be a sealing within all of our hearts as to not only the blood of Christ, but the whole of our salvation that was purchased by that blood. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. We've been looking at the value of the blood of Christ. We're up to part 5 today. This will be the concluding sermon on this sermon series. And we've learned over the last 4 sermons, we've learned about what the blood of Christ has accomplished for us. And I'll go through 6 areas. I'll just read them out here. 6 areas that we've covered, and today we're going to be looking at faith in Christ's blood. And there's a few scriptures we haven't looked at yet. We'll look at that today. Through the blood of Christ, we have firstly redemption from sin, which means we've been bought with a price. The Bible says God purchased the church with his own blood. That's in Acts 20:28. We won't turn to that. We have read that. We have been redeemed from sin, and that means we've been bought with a price. And it hasn't been natural things or works that have bought us, it's been the blood of Christ that has been the price that was paid. Secondly, the blood of Christ has given us salvation, which is full of blessing, full of benefits. Salvation, it's given us the entrance into the kingdom of God. Thirdly, it's given us a righteous position as kings and priests in the kingdom of God. The Bible says we've been justified by his blood. Justified talks about we now have been placed into a righteous position in God. We are in right standing with God. He doesn't look on us now as people of sin, but as people of righteousness. Praise the Lord. Fourth, we have peace with God. We no longer are under the wrath of God because the sin problem has been dealt with. God is no longer angry with us because he's no longer looking on us as sinners but as righteous people. So we have peace with God, and the peace of God is available to us. Fifthly, we have victory in all areas. The Bible talks about overcoming the enemy by the blood of Christ. Six, we have an eternal covenant, or the Bible talks about a New Testament with God. Now, a covenant or a testament is more than just an agreement. It's a link and a bond with God now, which is forever sealed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once only. Doesn't require Jesus to die over and over. He died once for us. Praise the Lord. Let's have a look at scriptures we haven't looked at in detail yet. In Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 26. And this talks about having faith in the blood of Christ. And we'll talk a little bit about what that means, having faith in the blood of Christ. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to 26, starting from verse 21, and I'll work through it. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, the Bible says that he is the justifier, God is the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. It is absolutely crucial for a person to believe in Jesus. To, as it's got there in the scripture, in verse 22, the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Our part is to believe. To believe the gospel. The gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died for us. He became a curse for us, the Bible says. And he paid the price of sin for us. And has brought us, or justified us, into a position of righteousness. It's a legal term, justified. We're no longer in the condemnation of sin. We are now justified, which means we've been taken up legally into a position of ruling and reigning with Christ. Praise the Lord. And that's why it says we've been justified, and that God is a justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now it says in verse 25, talking about, well, let's look at verse 24 first. Being justified freely by his grace, that's God's favour and love and blessing toward us, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption means that the price has been paid. Praise the Lord. We have forgiveness of sins. And notice it says about Jesus in verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be our propitiation through faith in his blood. Propitiation means that there has been the price paid to appease the wrath of God. That's all it means. The price has been paid to appease the wrath of God. And what was that price that was paid? Well, it tells us in verse 25, through faith in his blood. It's the blood of Christ that was paid. And now we are to have faith in his blood. What does that mean? Remember the six things I read out before. We should have faith that the blood of Christ has redeemed us from sin, that the blood of Christ has enabled us to have salvation, which is full of blessing. We now have faith in the blood that we have a righteous position as kings and priests unto God and in the kingdom of God. We now have faith in the blood that we have peace with God and that he is no longer angry with us. We now have faith in the blood that we have victory in all areas. We now have faith in the blood that we have an eternal covenant with God. And so faith means trusting that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished this for us. So how very important it is for us to recognize and understand the price that's been paid. When we understand that price has been paid, we can have faith in his blood. And in fact, all those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they're believing that he died, he shed his blood for us. And when we partake of the Lord's Supper, for example, what does the Bible say? He took the bread, he broke it, he said, this is my body which is broken for you. He took the cup and he said, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. So we know the New Testament, the new covenant that we have with God is through the blood of Christ. And we remember that each time we come around the Lord's Supper. So let's have a quick look at that in Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20. So it should take significance, the Lord's Supper should take significance in our hearts as to what has been accomplished for us. When we come around the Lord's Supper, we're remembering the blood that was shed for us, that price that was paid, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that was prepared. And so we have faith in his blood that all of this has been accomplished for us. Praise the Lord. And if we look at verses 19 and 20 of Luke chapter 22, notice what it says. Talking about Jesus at the Last Supper, it says, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. So we see a couple of things there. Now, when he said, "This is my body," he's talking, it's a metaphor, he's talking about the bread representing the body, and the cup representing the blood. And we see here that we are to do it in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to partake of it. What are we remembering about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we'll read it in a minute, but the Bible says that God prepared a body for the Lord Jesus. It was a special body. We read that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Only begotten talks about a special birth. And what was that special birth? It was the virgin birth. It was a birth whereby the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was prepared in his body through the virgin birth. So when someone says, "Well, why did Jesus need to be born of a virgin?" Well, he couldn't have the corruptible blood of men and women. He had to have it prepared in him. And we know that the blood of the child is separate from the blood of the mother. And we know that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. It was God who overshadowed Mary and produced the child Jesus in the womb of Mary. So we know that the virgin birth is a very important doctrine, because it touches on the fact of the prepared blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So never let anyone tell you the virgin birth is a myth or something that's not right. No, it's a very crucial doctrine, and it's talked about a number of times in the scripture. So we see that this cup, Jesus said here, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." So the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is a personal thing. It's been shed for us. It's been spilt for us. It was so that we could have the New Testament, or the New Covenant. And as I said before, it's more than just the word covenant or testament is more than just an agreement. It's referring to an eternal bond with God, an eternal link. You see, just as our natural bodies have blood running through it, we know that the body of Christ also has the blood of Christ. And that, if we're in the body of Christ, then we're linked into the blood of Christ as well. Praise the Lord. Let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Now, we've heard that term redemption. When we hear the word redemption in the future, that we've been redeemed, then we should be thinking, "I have been bought with a price by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." The wages of sin is death. Okay, that means separation from God. The wages of sin has now been dealt with. It's now been paid for. And so now we can come to God with free access. Praise the Lord. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 verse 7. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Grace talks about God's favour, God's blessing, God reaching out and showing his love. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, God loved us. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We saw that we needed to believe and have faith in the blood, that the propitiation, which is the payment to appease the wrath of God, has been paid by the blood of Christ. Praise the Lord for that. Now we know that we have redemption. We have right now. It's a present tense thing. If you've been born again, you've been saved, then you have now redemption through his blood. The Bible talks about being redeemed from the curse of the law. You're no longer under the curse of sin and hell but you have redemption, as it says, the forgiveness of sins. What does that mean? It means that God now is holding nothing against you. There's no condemnation of sin in your life now. And your duty, your responsibility before God is to walk in holiness before Him and in obedience to His word. And God gives you the power to do that now. Redemption talks about cancellation of the sin debt, forgiveness of sin, and we've been bought with a price. We've heard that over and over again, but it is important for us to have it deep in our heart and an understanding of what we're doing when we come to the Lord's Supper and so on. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. 1 Peter 1, 18 to 20. Now, we've been talking about the value of the blood of Christ. And to the believer in Christ, Jesus is precious, and the blood of Christ must be looked on as precious. Precious. We do not loosely talk about the blood of Christ, but we look upon it as very, very precious. The most precious thing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. Notice what it says here. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Praise the Lord, for you. Now, we have looked at, we won't turn to it, but we've looked at the fact that what shall profit a man if he gain the whole world, yet lose his own soul? You know, nothing in the world can purchase the salvation of a person's soul. So we haven't been redeemed from corruptible things like silver and gold. There's many people running after that type of thing. But we've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. And it says, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We talked about the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We looked at that last time. And in fact, we should just quickly look at John chapter 1, verse 29. We know that when we looked at the blood of Christ with relation to the Lamb, the Lamb of God is talking about the Passover lamb, and Jesus is our Passover. It's when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt and into the promised land. And as they were coming out, or just before they came out, the Lord told them to spread the blood of the Passover lamb on the top of their door and on the side posts of the door. And the destroyer did not come in to those. And just the same thing with us. We now have the blood of Christ applied to our lives. And the blood of Christ applied to our lives tells us that we have precious redemption. We have a precious thing in our lives. Praise the Lord. John chapter 1, verse 29. Notice it says, the next day John, that talk about John the Baptist, seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Notice, capital L for Lamb of God, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a title which Jesus has now taken on himself. And you can see it right through the book of Revelation as well. The title of the Lamb, capital L, Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Why has he taken that title on? Because his function had been to be that lamb, to shed his blood for us forever and seal it into an eternal covenant for us. Praise the Lord. If you look at Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll read through this, Hebrews 10 verses 3 to 10. We have faith in the blood of Christ, knowing now that there has been an accomplishment of eternal salvation for us. And it's precious. If you think about it, and the Bible talks about it, that if our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Lamb, capital L, Lamb's Book of Life, then we won't be partaking of the lake of fire of the future or hell. We don't partake of that because now we are in the Lamb's Book of Life, eternal life. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 3 to 10. But in those sacrifices, talking about the Old Testament sacrifices where they would sacrifice not only the Passover lamb, but every year they would sacrifice animals. And the high priest would go into the tabernacle's Holy of Holies. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. So every year they had to go through those sacrifices. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. So let me ask you a question. If it wasn't possible for the blood of animals to take away sins, was that a permanent solution? No, it wasn't. There had to be a permanent solution. And it goes on to tell us what that is. Verse 5 says, wherefore when he cometh into the world, that's talking about Jesus, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. So the body, which we talked about before through the virgin birth, was prepared for the Lord Jesus Christ, specifically related to his blood being the pure, precious payment for us. But a body hast thou prepared me. Verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. That's because they weren't a permanent solution. Verse 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. So what's God's will? God's will is for people to be saved and to come into an eternal covenant with him, praise the Lord. Verse 8, above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadest pleasure therein which are offered by the law. So in the Old Testament law, when they had to offer up, God wasn't satisfied with that. It was only a temporary solution. It only covered their sins for a time. God wanted, and in fact we wanted, desired a permanent solution to that. Verse 9 says, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once. So the Lord Jesus Christ was offered once for all. That tells us it's a permanent solution. Once, forever, for all. Praise the Lord. No longer did the Lord Jesus Christ, no longer did there have to be sacrifices, but once he came and died and his blood was shed for us, that's it. Notice what it says in verse 11 and 12. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, talking about Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. So one sacrifice for sins forever was offered by the Lord Jesus Christ. He could never have sat down at the right hand of God if God hadn't said, I accept that sacrifice. And now the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the Holy of Holies in heaven. And that's forever, praise the Lord. And that's forever for us, that sacrifice. That's why we have to have faith in the blood, because we have faith that forever it's sealed that we in the kingdom of God. There's never going to be a time like 10,000 years in the future, oh, the blood of Christ has run out. There's no more sufficiency for you. No, it's forever. Not like the Old Testament where the next year there had to be another lot of sacrifices of animals. No, because that could never take away sins. As it says in verse 11, it says, those sacrifices which can never take away sins. But there was one that could take away sins forever, and that was the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if, in the same chapter, go to verses 19 and 20, and notice what it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. In other words, his body, his flesh was provided for us, consecrated for us, as it says there. And now we have a new and living way. It's a new and living way because that one sacrifice was made. And now we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We have access to God that was not available prior to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have boldness in God, praise the Lord. Boldness. And so we have faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, that it has enabled us to have boldness to come to God. Boldness to come to the Lord, to call him our Father, and to be a partaker of what God has for us now. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. There's another couple of scriptures. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. Let's look at this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. Now, we've talked about today having faith in the blood. We went through six areas that the blood of Jesus Christ accomplished for us. We've looked at this. I suggest that you listen to the sermon series again on CD. Listen to them, and you'll understand, as you have been, we've been building up your knowledge of the value of the blood of Christ. You'll be understanding just how firm your salvation is. See, God must have thought it very, very important that the blood of Christ was paid for us, that he died and he was made a sacrifice for us. He must have seen it very important for us to have sacrifice, us to have that sacrifice and to have salvation. He must have seen it as very important. You see, in God's eyes, it is a very important thing because he was ready to make that payment. Even though it meant Jesus had to go through the suffering on the cross and everything before that, he had to go through all of that. Nevertheless, God saw it as very, very important. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. Well, let's look at verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Jesus came through the water of the womb and blood. Now we talk about the blood of Christ. He came very clearly for that purpose. It tells us of that. It talks about his birth and the blood here. And if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then we have overcoming power, according to verse 5. We are people that overcome the world. The world can throw at us all types of things. The world is dictated over by the God, little g, of this world, Satan, and is made up of people who are not born again. And we know that we are now overcomers by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's finish by looking at Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Revelation 1, 5 and 6. Now, I mentioned before that right through Revelation, it talks about the Lamb of God. And that's a theme right through the book of Revelation. And Jesus takes into eternity the title Lamb of God. So think of that. Think of that. He takes that into eternity. You know, if someone asked you 4 million years from now, how do you know that you're saved, and have eternal life, you can say, well, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lamb, capital L, Lamb's Book of Life. He's known as the Lamb into eternity. And this is what he's done for us in Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. You see, we're not going to be forgetting the blood of Christ into eternity. We're going to be remembering that and forever having faith that his blood has, as it's got there, washed us from our sins in his own blood. His blood has washed us from our sins, praise the Lord. And that we've been made kings and priests. We've been put into a righteous position. Now we are kings and priests. We are in a rulership position in Christ, praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we look at the precious blood of Christ and see that it is indeed precious to us. And I pray that every one of us would be impressed greatly right into the future, that we have been bought with a price. It's not been a small thing, but it's been a great and mighty thing. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for sending Jesus. And we thank and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. And we call him precious today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we praise you and thank you. Glory to God. We open ourselves to the Spirit of God. We know that you are with us. Glory to God. Glory to God. O marichalien durish mahendle korekisi debishto. Think on these things. Meditate on these things. Know these things. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I pray every person here be blessed. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Amen.